apart. I didn't know it was God. I thought it was my mind. But the thought was so strong and so impressive and overwhelming, I couldn't run from it. And it's just like God called me onto the carpet and spoke to me. And what he said was, because I went to church all my life and would have told you I was a Christian, but I had no love for God. I didn't seek God in any way, never read my Bible, didn't pray, didn't manifest him in my character, I promise. You wouldn't have known I was a Christian, but I would have said I was a Christian because I grew up in church. And I was at work one night, and the Lord, out of the blue, the Lord said, you don't even know if God's really real. And I couldn't escape that. I couldn't get away from it. But what I was telling Dave the other day, we went away yesterday. That was just yesterday. I told Dave that I met some people a couple months after this experience, and the guy like wept. And here they were driving to Walmart, him and his wife. And they knew my wife. My wife used to go to their home group. And can you all, it seems like I'm too low. I'll just stand up here. No, I'll be all right. I'll just sit in here. My wife used to go to their home group, and she was pretty hurting because I wasn't a real good guy, and she took that pretty personal. I wasn't a real good husband, okay? So she would go to the home group and get in a chair in the middle like that. You know, they'd say, anybody need prayer? And she'd, you know, what can we pray for you for? Oh, pray for my husband, you know? It's such a rat, you know? And then they would all pray for her husband, right? And then she'd go to another home group and another home group, and had a bunch of them in the area, so she'd make sure she went to them. I guess figured the more people praying, the better, you know. But there's a couple things convicting about this whole story I'm getting into, which I didn't plan on. But later she said that she realized for 13 years she prayed for me and never prayed for me because she cared about me. She only prayed for me because I was a mess and bothered her and affected her life, made her life miserable. So the only reason she prayed for me was to hope God touched me to make her life better. So she said, I honestly realize I never prayed for you because I loved you or saw the value of your life. I prayed for you because you were so messed up and it was such a pain in my neck. And that prayer didn't even reach the throne of God. That it was a self-serving prayer. It wasn't faith that worked through love. It was desperation and need that worked through frustration and unforgiveness. And God never answered the prayer. So, yeah, if you need Bibles, just lift your hands up and we'll get one to you. John is on it, man. You're all right, John. I don't care what the devil says about you. You are all right.
He's not happy with me. He hasn't been happy with me for a while.
And whatever he says is a lie, so it just doesn't matter. Anybody else need a Bible? We all good? Good. So, to make this shortened up, but that came out of it. My wife realized that after I got right with God. But I got right with God that night and I got saved. And I'm not trying to get into that part of the testimony. This is the part I wanted to share. This guy that used to have his home open for a home group and his wife, they remembered my wife. And it was 4 years later. This is 4 years after she'd even gone to their home. Okay? I know 4 years goes quick, but a lot happens in 4 years in time, and you forget people, and you'll get out of touch, and things change, right? A lot of times. So they hadn't even seen my wife for 4 years. So they're driving to Walmart, and he says, have you seen Kim lately? She said, no, why do you ask? He began to cry and said, I can't get her husband out of my mind and my heart. And he's crying for me. He really doesn't know me. Guess who does know me?
The King.
God knows me, and he knows God, and he was available. He was open. God moved on him and put me on his heart, and he yielded and began to weep, and he said, I've got to pray for him. I've got to begin to intercede. And he started crying. Presently, his wife began to cry. I'm thinking, he's telling me the story at a gas pump, and I'm standing there, now I'm crying. I'm like, you know, because you think, well, God's sitting in heaven, and he's watching your life, and finally he says, okay, enough of this nonsense, bam. You know, sometimes you think God's moving like that. No, God gave the earth to the children of men. He told men to subdue the earth. He wants us to be led by a spirit and move in the power of his name, but he's asking us to lay hands on the sick. He's asking us to decree, proclaim, and pray. He wants us to be the expression of who he is. That's God's choice. That's not my idea. That's his. So here's the deal. He moved. through the hearts of yielded people, humble people, loving people, people that took time to pray for somebody they really didn't know and cried and yielded to the move of God's Spirit on their heart and prayed me into the kingdom. You think, well, God could have just come and whacked me. God has chosen to move through men and reveal and manifest himself. It's powerful to me. So his wife started crying, and they didn't just like drive and pray, they parked the car. I think that impressed me most of all. I thought, you know, that's really awesome. You're heading to Walmart, and you say, and you pull off the road, and you're sitting there crying, holding hands, interceding, praying for a guy you really don't know. That's a powerful thing. That released something in the realm of grace. Something happened where my sins were removed through them just crying out for me, probably repenting for me, remitting sin, and sin shall be remitted. That sure beats judging, and boy, what a knucklehead, and he'll never change, and boy, I wish God would whack him someday. We need to get them thoughts out of us. That's not God. But God, they're blind. If he even knew what he was doing, he'd never, and Lord, would you open his eyes? Lord, his purpose is being subverted, his value, his destiny. God, would you move and save and change? And see, as they're praying that, something's happening awesome. In about 2 weeks, we talked about the time frame. It was late May, and I was saved on June 9th. It was about 2 weeks after they pulled over, parked, and cried out, God came to my work and snatched me out of darkness. I just love that. So why'd I take the time to share that? Man, let's be open and available to God. Amen. Let's pray and say, Lord, whoever you want to put on my heart, whatever you want to put on my heart, I'm available. I want your heart in me, and I'll pray out your heart so your heart's fulfilled on the earth. I will yield to you, Lord God. Isn't that cool? That sure beats just saying, bless me, help me, touch me, feed me. I mean it. I mean, if God wants to do all that, I'm not going to say, don't touch me. But it's more than just about us. It's about him through us. Don't ever forget that. That's how we stay a river. You don't just want to become a lake, you know. You want to become a river. We don't want just water pouring into us. The whole idea is that water starts flowing out of us. The fuller I get, the more I can spill. Okay? Yeah, I don't even want to, I'm not correcting Don, I don't even want to leak, I just want to... So you know what I mean? Oh my. So praise God. But that's just, that rose in me when he said about June 9th and saved, and I thought, you know what? It's more than God just visiting me and snatching me out of the darkness. He moved on the hearts of people that love God and fear God, and they laid down their life and were Christians, and he moved on them to pray and intercede for me. That's deeper than just saying God came and rescued me, you know? It shows how it really worked. There's another time coming on my mind where I was really going through something about 8 or 10 years ago that seemed to be in the natural, real trial, and I didn't feel like I struggled in it, and I felt like it wasn't even a temptation to struggle. And when it subsided, I thought, God, this is cool. And I started to think a little like, it wasn't pride, it wasn't high-minded. I just started to think that I got through this with my faith and my obedience. And, you know, I just started to think I did everything right and God was faithful. You know what I mean? It wasn't necessarily a bad line of thought. It was just, yeah, I did my part, God did his, praise God, don't ever need to fear, da da da. And I was feeling like just me and God walked through this thing that I'm referring to without going into detail. Within a week later, I'm talking to people, and like 5 different people said, what was going on with you last week? I couldn't get you out of my heart. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And after about the 4th or 5th person, I'm like, I didn't walk through nothing myself. God, you love me. You had people stirred up on my behalf. I got through because of the prayers of the saints and the synergism and the faithfulness and the obedience. Whoa. That just told me something. I'm thinking, wow. So I think what God's saying in all this, and the reason I'm even taking time for this, man, we can participate in the will of God on behalf of others if we'll just open our heart and get available. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, how are ya? He's coming to see me. It's a little different environment than you're used to, huh? But he's exploring, Richard. He's checking it out. He comes to Seven Valleys and crawls right up. Wow, bless him, Jesus. Father, that everything you desire for him come to pass. Father, as he's sitting in the center, we just pray for him and ask right now for your gifts and callings to impart into him. And Lord God, just let your hand rest so, so, so strong upon his life. Everything you desire, let it come to pass, Lord. At an extreme young age, let him have visions, encounters. Blessing God. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. Wow. Y'all got Bibles?
Yeah.
Let's do something. We just turn our hearts upward. Can we just invite the Holy Spirit? And just really, this is a good time for every one of us. I know you're here for whatever reason you're here. Maybe just because John compelled you and he's a good compeller. But if that's the only reason you're here, it's okay. You're here. So, or if your husband or wife or mom or dad drug you, whatever. You got people with meetings for all different reasons. I see teenagers. I say, are you here by the ball and chain? And they're like, I'm just here because I was made to be, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you're here. But let's pray. And as I pray, let's just personally, everybody here, ask the Holy Spirit. Just open your heart to Him and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you tonight, to do whatever He desires in your life. You know what I mean? There's an important place to yield yourself to Him. Begin to yield yourself. Sometimes we expect God to just do or think God will do whatever He wants. But you know, He wants relationship. Who knows God wants relationship? You know, we don't want people to push and shove and do that stuff, and we don't do that to others. Why would we expect God to just, well, God will do whatever He wants? No, He wants relationship. As I yield to Him, as I ask of Him, as I yield to Him, as I pray, as I surrender, it's just an awesome exchange. Amen? So what I'm saying is make yourself available personally tonight. Just don't lean on a corporate prayer. But personally, as we pray, you just make yourself available to who God is and ask Him to come in a deeper way into your life tonight. Would you do that as we pray? And get personal with Him, okay? Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to be together here in Your presence. And Lord God, I ask Your presence to come even more tonight. More and more tonight. As this night goes, I ask Your presence would just grow. That You would come and reveal Your love, Your nature, Your gospel purpose, everyone's value, everyone's importance. God, release destinies tonight. With understanding, let people see why they're here on this earth. God, let us see. I'm just asking You to move tonight, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, we just ask You to come. Touch every heart, every life. Bring transformation. Bring increase. Bring encouragement. Bring strength. You know everybody out here, Lord. You know what everybody needs. God, we just welcome You. We just ask You, Holy Spirit, to come. Father, we look to You and we love You. We ask You to reveal Yourself more tonight, increase our understanding tonight. Thank You for the touch of Your love. God, we worship You. You're mighty. You're awesome. We thank You for all that You do. We thank You for all that You do. Holy presence of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. Man, John was talking about testimonies. We were over in Fritztown Tuesday. It was neat. My whole heart is to reproduce the body and just things I've experienced. When John first met me, I would do healing services. I just prayed for everybody. I mean, if whoever came to healing services over at YCF, when I would lead healing services over there, I'd preach with all my heart, and then I'd call people out and pray. And we'd pray for them. And Tammy, she's a good testimony. She came with Lyme's disease. She left. She really didn't feel any different. When she got home, she said, thank You, Lord, that when they touched me, I was healed. I just believe You love me. I believe Your word. I just appreciate You. She went to bed, and the rest is history. She's just healed. They can't find Lyme's, and she's good. She's had a baby since then, and God's good. Whoa. But there's so many testimonies. John saw so many things. That's why he invited hundreds of people, because he saw things happen. He saw people healed. And 2 years ago, the Lord mandated my heart to start spreading this message around the body of Christ. And I didn't know how to do that, because I wasn't going to knock on doors and try to find a place to speak. You know what I mean? You know, I wasn't going to walk around with a sign, we'll preach for food or something like that. I just wasn't. So, and I wasn't going to call on anybody's phone and ask if I could come minister. It wasn't even in my heart. I wasn't even going to consider it. And I knew God wasn't telling me to do that. It was amazing how it all transpired. We did several weekly meetings in places. Here was one of them. And over in Fritztown and different areas. And things just started. Testimonies, CDs got out. John handed out like 1.5 million CDs or something. And It was a lot. That was a little evangelistic exaggeration, but it was a lot of CDs. And he handed a lot out. And I started getting phone calls at home, and people would invite me to minister and speak, and did a conference with Randy Clark, and that kind of opened things up even more. And it was like, and we'd just been running and preaching and sharing. But I'll tell you what touched my heart. On Tuesday night at Fritztown, we had a good time. It was fun.
Great.
Worship was awesome. Corporate just joy and worship and anointing. God's presence was there. It was freedom there. And at the end, we just said, listen, you know, we had a couple words for people with different sickness, told them to stand up. Somebody got a discernment. He actually smelled a smell that reminded him of something they used on toothaches and nerve damage. And he said, anybody with toothaches or issues in their nerves and roots in their mouths and jaws. And then he expanded the word, which I liked as a stretch of faith. He just said, in fact, any kind of nerve damage, just stand up. And they all stood up, and we just prayed corporately, and they're touching people. And then it was something else and another word or two, and they're all standing up. And I'm standing back in the corner because I just released them. I said, go pray for your brothers and sisters. Come on, we've been teaching this. You know what to do. Just go love and be the church, you know. I stood back and I looked, and I was so overwhelmed. There was circles of people just praying, and I'm back in the corner. I could have just slid out of the room. Nobody'd ever known I was gone. It was just so fun. I'm just standing there thinking, God, this is your heart. See, I could cry right now. I thought, God, this is your heart desire. So the body would be encouraged and strengthened and have confidence in who you are in them. Not in themselves, but who you are in them and who you want to be through them. And that we can't produce anything, but we can believe in the one that produced a whole lot. And we can release faith in his name. Amen? So we're standing, I'm watching this, and I said, Who was healed and this and that? And the one lady told me something, and pain, how it just shot out, and it had been there forever. And this lady prayed. And then this other lady, I said, who still has pain and you were prayed for your teeth? And this lady raised her hand. I said, right there. Come on, guys. Hit that. Just pray. So they're praying for her. This was the coolest thing. She had an abscess on this side and an abscess on this side. It was swollen out. Abscess. And the back tooth was ready to fall out. You know, it was. You know how your roots, you know, it's just not holding anymore, and it's wobbly. So she's standing there, and God touches her, and all of a sudden the pain goes. Well, she starts switching around there, I guess, with her tongue and her fingers, and she's like, oh my gosh. So she goes in the bathroom. The abscesses completely disappeared. Every trace of infection left. The swelling left. When she checked the loose tooth, it was as tight as the others. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just cool. Come on, that's just cool. I just like that stuff. So, you know, we can rock our minds and say, yeah, but well that, but what about, and I'm saying, no, slow down, shut off your mind and savor the moment and enjoy and go, whoa, yay. Yay, it's possible. God's moving. Yay. Let's just grow in this thing. You see? Sometimes you got to be careful that I don't know why I'm saying this, but we got to be careful we don't let our minds get trapped over in a negative realm and get fixed on what hasn't happened or what it seems like God hasn't done. Let's embrace what he's doing, what he's done, what he's doing, and just rejoice in what's about to happen. And let's keep forward motion. Because when I see stuff like that, it just blesses me. Because you already know in your heart it's possible, but when you see the manifestation, it's just like, whoa, let's keep going for God. Let's keep touching and loving and praying. And I heard this phrase about a year ago, the more people we pray for, the more we're going to see. So let's just pray. I talked to a lady today in an overwhelming situation, and in a little we're going to be receiving communion tonight. That's on John's heart. And I asked him in a minute to come up and just share his heart a little on communion. We're going to receive communion if you want to. You're all invited to. But this lady was in an overwhelming situation, and she's just praying and praying and praying, and she felt like she was exasperated praying. And you know, sometimes you can pray so much that you can slip into works. You think that it's your prayer that brings the victory. It's your faith in what he accomplished that brings the victory, and what we pray is in agreement with what he accomplished, whether it's a decree, a thanksgiving. She was starting to strive in prayer. She shared this after I shared what I saw. I said, honey, I said, when I heard your phone message, I got this instant picture of the elements of communion. And I wasn't even thinking about tonight's communion. I said, I got the instant picture of elements of communion, and I saw you taking communion, receiving communion, holding the elements up and saying, God, I thank you. There's nothing I can do to change the situation but believe what you did through your son. That's all I can do. And I thank you for that right now. And then I said, then you decree life, and then you speak freedom, and then you speak victory, but it's through the finished work of Jesus, right? It's not your great prayer. It's just a... I've watched too many people get self-conscious when they pray and get overwhelmed by what they're praying and are they praying right. It's the name of Jesus that changes things. It's the power of what he accomplished. That should be like, whoo, a relief to all of us. So when you receive communion tonight, that's just a little side thought, a little tidbit, that every time you receive communion, you can rejoice that we entered into his rest. We're not producing anything. We're just believing in what he's produced. And we're calling on the name of him who is faithful. Amen? And we're just believing that. We're not trying to press through and break through and get results. We're just believing the right thing. Isn't that cool? That's pretty simple to me. I want to stay that simple. Yeah, I just want to stay that simple. So tonight John will share a little on communion, whatever's on his heart, but that's a little side thought on it. And I told this lady, and she said, that is so powerful. She said, I really need to do that. I needed to hear that. Because she said, I've just been just laboring and praying and praying and praying and thinking the more she prays, like she's going to please God or some, you know, cause something to... No, we believe. There's times I've prayed. Let me explain, make sure I'm not confusing anybody. There's times I've prayed everything I understand concerning the word towards a situation. And at that point, I'll enter into a place of faith where I'm like, yeah. And I'll just believe it. And I'm like, it's like a place of rest. Like, wow, we did what we're called to do. We believed in the finished work. That doesn't mean if I see the person again, I'm not going to touch them and reaffirm that and declare that and speak that over them. But I'm not like trying to pray some great prayer. I'm believing what he's done. Amen? And I'm thanking him that he's moving. So it's just exciting to me. If you got a Bible, you ought to all have Bibles. We handed them out. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. John will run one to you. He's that kind of guy. We love you, Jesus. Thanks for the website, Pam and Nick. Thank you. A lady called already today and she said, oh my gosh, the new website is awesome. And she was all excited. She was. She was like, it's like so professional. It's so awesome. And she was. She was pumped.
There's a lot of ads. You probably get lots of new messages.
A lot of new messages, really. And that's the number one comment that we have gotten is people are getting touched by those messages. So if you want to access that and get those messages, you can what? Copy them, download them. They're all free. Just take them, copy them, recopy them, pass them around. If they bless you, make them again and again and hand them out or tell people where to get them. You know what I mean? We get a lot of people that call and comment on the messages. I mean, I could tell you some real heart-touching testimonies. It's cool. I don't feel like I'm preaching anything like extra different in my own heart. It's all I've known since I was saved in June 9th of 95. But it's funny, places I travel and go, people respond like they've never heard what I'm saying. And they're like, and the results are just phenomenal. And we're just seeing a lot of cool stuff. So, Mark 16, I want to talk about water baptism a little tonight because Miss Natalie, she's going to get baptized tonight. And anybody else, as you listen, I'm sure the Mulligans can grab out some old clothes or something. We can make something work. They got plenty of clothes and towels. But here's the deal. I want to say this right in the beginning. If your heart gets convicted and you think, wow, I never truly got water baptized really scripturally the way the Bible reveals to be baptized. I'm not trying to encroach on your background, your denomination, or whatever was dear to you as a young child. You'll understand as I talk what I'm saying. If your heart jumps and you say, wow, I never knew that and I never got water baptized with those reasons and with that understanding, and it feels like your heart's going, man, I just need to do this. This is meaningful to me. You all have that invite tonight if you were never water baptized with understanding. So many people were sprinkled as a child, a little baby, and I'm not saying anything against it. I'm not saying it's wrong. There's a release of faith, confidence. You're committing the child to the Lord. And I'm okay with all that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But that's not the same as water baptism through your born-again experience. And I'm going to explain that, okay, as I'm talking tonight, because I feel like there's probably people here that were sprinkled as children or little babies, but the bottom line is you don't even remember that. There was no belief in your heart. There was no understanding in your heart. It was something that your parents did, whether it was traditionally or because they sincerely just wanted to, you know, it comforted them to present you to God and ask God and entrust God's grace over your life or whatever. But water baptism that Jesus is talking about in Mark 16, if I turn you there, go to Mark 16, it's first, we'll start in 15. You're going to see that the time to be baptized is when you believe. And when you're a little tiny baby and have no recollection of it, you're not believing anything. You're just receiving the good intention of your parents and your pastor. And I'm not trying to burst anybody's bubble here. That's all well and good. But there is a water baptism that is coupled with the new birth experience. It's very important. So Natalie was never water baptized. What was her situation, Richard, as a little girl or something? Richard. Was it just as a little girl or something?
Yeah.
I thought you were out with a little guy.
Yeah, I was.
Sprinkled as a baby.
Yeah, I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16,
She's never been water baptized, and she just kind of had this, we were talking about it, and she got this conviction, and then I gave her a little book on water baptism, which was very helpful to you, right?
Yeah.
And then she wanted to go jump in the tub and just have Richard bat. She was like, I got to do this. So conviction came in, and she, yeah, isn't that how it is? Am I exaggerating? You were like, I got to get water baptized.
I'm like, Richard, that's it. I
got to
do this. Dump me in the tub.
She's like, just dump me. Well, what came in her heart and what they shared with me is then she decided she wanted to do something more public, is what she told me on the phone, do something more public in a witness type atmosphere where it was before witnesses. And so she didn't just get in the tub and do it. She waited and was very patient because the other time we were going to do it, it didn't work out. And here we are tonight. So that's why we're doing this here, and it just invited this whole atmosphere, so it was good. But she decided to wait because she wanted to do it not just unto God, but as a witness unto man. And that's cool because that's all part of it too. So we're going to talk about that just a little to give understanding, okay? So I'm not saying a negative thing, or I'm not saying there's no power when you know, the sprinkling of a child. See, because anytime you release faith in anything concerning God, there's grace, okay? So if I'm dedicating a baby, and actually the true dedication of a child is we ought to dedicate the parents to train them up in the way of the Lord. You don't just do a dedication and say, here's my child, God, and then go ahead and live like whatever. Come on, that's just totally religious and wacky. We're not doing that, okay? We're not saying, here's my child, oh God, you know, and then turn around living like there's no God. That would be pretty like, okay? I won't use any more adjectives. Y'all got the point. Look, we're going to lift our child up and do a dedication or a sprinkling or submit them to God, then we're going to be godly parents and train them up in Him. Does that make sense? Okay. But look here what Jesus said in Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's awesome. That word sozo, it doesn't just mean saved in a spiritual sense from the penalty of sin. It also means healed, delivered, protected, and preserved in the here and now. It's a very awesome, all-inclusive word. Okay? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So what's the first thing that's necessary? Well, to preach the gospel. And then what do people do after you preach the gospel?
Believe.
And those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Now, you always have people that ask questions and say, yeah, but it's not the baptism that saves you, it's the blood of Jesus. Well, it's the blood of Jesus that remits sin. But isn't it amazing in red letters, Jesus said, believe and be baptized. So people say, well, do I have to be baptized to be saved? And I'm saying it's an irrelevant question. Let's not ask the question. We all want to get free from the law, and we all want to get free from works and mandates in the church, and then we ask a legalistic question like, well, if I don't get baptized, does that mean I'm still saved? Do I have to be baptized to be saved? I'm saying if Jesus said to do it, why are we even asking the question? There has to be an incredible significance. There has to be an awesome reason. You see? When God says something, why do we take the initiative to say, yeah, well, but, maybe, if? See, because he's the Lord. And he says, believe and be baptized. And as we talk about water baptism and the power of it, you'll see that we want to be water baptized when we're sincerely born again. You really want to, because it's an awesome thing. Because let me just, in a nutshell, and then we're going to look at some scriptures. What you're saying is, the old man is dying. I'm just going to preach this out, and then I'm going to show you some scriptures. Okay, see the pool over there? That's where we're going to do the water baptism. Okay? In water baptism, that's symbolic of a grave. Okay? And I'm going to back this up with some scripture in a minute. But that's symbolic of a grave. Didn't they put Jesus in a grave? It says that we were crucified with Christ. Well, wait a minute. I wasn't hanging there on the cross with him. I didn't suffer. They didn't put nails through my hands. Do you see what I'm saying? They put them through his hands, right? They didn't beat my back. They beat his. But yet it says I was crucified with Christ. Well, when he hung there, we all hung there with him. That was the heart of God. God saw me with him. But see, when he died, I died. How's that possible? Through water baptism, through the born-again experience. I believe, and then I go to the water, and I say, whoa, this is symbolic of a grave. And even as he died, I die in the likeness of the Lord, death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Romans 6. And then when I go under, what I'm saying is, this is the old man. He's dying, the old me. Everything I've ever done, everything I ever haven't done that I should have, everything I've done that I shouldn't have, it's all dead and buried. This man is dying in the likeness of the death of the Lord Jesus. I'm being crucified with Christ. Okay? What got put on the cross? Was it the Son of God or was it sin? It was sin. He was made to be sin. See, Jesus doesn't even want you to see a suffering Savior on the cross. He doesn't want you to say, oh, poor Jesus. He doesn't, honestly, he doesn't want you to watch a story of the crucifixion and cry in sympathy because he died. He wants you to see the love of the Father and rejoice and see the integrity of love and say, I am so incredibly impressed with you and that you would hang there for me and take my sin on your body so that I could die to sin and live for you. Oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. He doesn't want you to boo-hoo that he's up there. He wants you to go, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible display of love I've ever seen. This is transforming. This is changing my life. See, because you can boo-hoo and feel sympathetic and go on and live the same. Yeah. That's not the purpose of the cross. He was made to be sin. Right? So that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. That means so we could be the righteous judgment of God. So he says, stand before me, Dave, and be righteous. The reason Dave can do that, even though Dave's made mistakes and has failure in his past, because of the blood of Jesus. He became sin and took Dave's sin in his body on a tree, that Dave dying to sin might live for righteousness. And by his stripes, he's healed. It's powerful. That's the gospel. So when I get water baptized, what I'm saying is the old man is dead. And this has some redemptive, brought back to original value concepts here that are very, very powerful. We've seen people, well, Richard, Natalie's wife, who's getting baptized, he came up out of the baptismal and his eyes were healed. His vision was healed. We had another guy who was going to the chiropractor daily. And every time I was preaching and sharing there with these people we baptized, he was going to the chiropractor daily. He could hardly do his job. And he had stuff popping out and messed up. And I kept saying, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Old things pass. And I kept saying that over and over. And it sounded almost redundant to some folks because I kept repeating it. And I was trying to prove a point about water baptism. He come up out of the water. He's touched by God. He goes in the bathroom. He's changing. He comes running out. And he's looking. And he finds me and he comes running over. And he says, this is amazing. He said, you guys must have bent me a certain way or something when you put me under. He said, because I'm all in place and it won't pop back out. He said, you guys must have put me just right and aligned my body. And I said, huh? He said, yeah. And he started doing all this stuff that he couldn't do. And I said, you don't get it. I said, old things pass away. Behold. The word behold is symbolic of the power of God. Old things pass away. Behold. All things. How many things? All things become. And when I said that, he went just like this. He said, whoa. He did. And I'm not trying to make it funny. He did this. He said, that's really deep. And I went, yeah. Because it's a spiritual truth that's alive. is life-giving. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He's real. He's not just a name we call on for comfort, guys. He's the Lord, and he's alive. You get it? So it's just really, really fun. So when we get water baptized, what we do is we go under and we call the old man dead and everything about that man, and we give up ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any man comes to me, let him first deny himself. What's the next thing he's going to do? He's going to pick up his cross and follow Jesus. That's another statement you're making. You're saying, my own will, my own agenda, my own finding my own life and living for me, myself, and I is finished right here. When I go under, all that goes under and stays under. Romans 6 says, but if we die in the likeness of his death, surely we will rise in the likeness of his resurrection. So we come up out of the water just like he came up out of the tomb. Isn't it awesome? He doesn't mandate you stay under 3 days. Serious. See, he did it all. All we do is live by faith. We take God at his word and go, yeah, like children. Serious. We become so intellectual. Well, yeah, but you know, men will still and yeah. We cut into the beauty with this intellect. We cut into the beauty and simplicity of what he's done. See, I just like to, I'm going to stay a big kid. I'm like only 46. I got a long way to go. But when I'm 66, I'm going to be a big kid. When I'm 86, I'm going to be a big kid. You get it? Okay. It's just good. So we're going to die in the likeness of his death. So we're dying to sin and the effects of sin and the fruit of sin. So watch this. If sin has eaten our lunch and sin has brought things upon us, and now we die to sin and go under, and old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Do you hear restoration and redemption in that? Meaning brought back to original value? That means you can come up out of the water, go in with a faith that you're dying to everything that was not God and coming up to everything that is. It's powerful. I've seen a whole lot of people healed in water baptism. Actually, there's a whole lot of folks. Because we got such a conviction of water baptism where I was pastoring that we started renting a spa. And then the man got so touched by the testimonies that rented the spa, I would always tell him, he'd say, how'd it go? And I told him all that was happening. He said, really? What? Whoa. And one day he was in a crisis and he came in crying. And he wasn't a church-going guy. And I got him in an office, in a room, I mean alone. But Holy Ghost and myself, we let him have it. It was good. God got on him pretty good. It was just fun. His wife called and she said, are you crying? No, I'll be all right. He was a mess in a good way. But he gave us the spa. He said, I'm just going to give you the spa. So we put the spa in, and we had probably baptized, it was over a couple hundred people in a short time. Because I would preach it when we had the spa right there. I would preach baptism all the time and end messages with water baptism. And there was always people that said, oh my gosh, I've never really done it like that. I've never understood. I never even was. And we would always be doing it. I did them at the end of healing services, water baptisms. So this is refreshing because it's gotten away from the church. We get people to pray a prayer to go to heaven. And we make no mention of water baptism. So we make no mention of an old nature dying, an old way dying, an old mentality dying, the effects of all that dying, and a new man arising. You see? See, whenever you release faith in something, grace comes to meet that faith. So the act of water baptism is so much more than an ordinance. It's just an absolute act of faith in the power of the gospel that the old man is dying and the new man's living. You see what I mean? And everything about you that wasn't God is washed away. Now look how important it must be if Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So then you get these, I don't know how, I'm glad. I'm not being critical towards people right now, but I'm thankful. Were you ever thankful about things like this? I'm thankful that I don't think a certain way. Like I know people that think a certain way and it's like, Look, man, I love you, but I want to shake you. What are you thinking that way for? Well, it's just the way my mind works. I'm like, no, it wasn't created to work like that. It never fails. People say stuff like, well, yeah, but so wonder if you're dying on wrecking on a plane. Wonder if a plane's in the air and the engines fail and it's crashed to the ground and you cry out in mercy and repentance and get born again, but you didn't have time to get baptized. So what are you saying? You can't get saved? Ah! Don't let your mind think that way. Come on, it's simple. Or people say, well, wonder if they got born again, and then they got in a car and got in a head-on collision and got killed and never got a chance to get water baptized. Why don't we just make God some legalistic, you know, well, you said the prayer, and it was late in the hour, and you didn't get water baptized. You almost made it in, but not quite. Come on, what are we thinking? Look. Here's the deal. Jesus said, believe and be baptized. So if we have opportunity, why wouldn't we? You can paint all these scenarios. I think God's righteous judgment covers all that, because the pure in heart shall see God. Here's what does concern me. When Christians hear the word, see what Jesus says, and make a choice not to, they're actually selling themselves short from the grace that wants to come into their life through the obedience to water baptizing and the release of faith. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had a pastor who was pastoring for 19 years. I was doing a school of ministry, and I real convicted about water baptism and the lack of sharing it in the body. Who has seen ministries and ministers, and I'm not bringing a negative out about people getting saved. Praise God, people are getting touched, saved, and all that. But who has seen that where tons of people come to the altar, and there's a lot of stuff happening, but have never even heard the mention of water baptism? It's like profuse. Yeah. And some churches just do an annual or a biannual water baptism. Here's the deal. You can study, check it out if you want to, and see if I'm telling you the truth. There's nowhere in the book of Acts that you can find that they got saved and didn't get water baptized the same day.
That's right.
You can't find it. Now, I'm not saying that because Natalie didn't get baptized the same day she had the revelation of Jesus that, you know, no, when we get the conviction, right? When the conviction comes, what should we do with it? Obey. But wouldn't it behoove all of us to begin to share water baptism in our gospel preaching with others and share the beauty and importance of it? Okay? I'm going to show you what I mean. So believe and be baptized, you will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. It doesn't say he who isn't baptized will be condemned, because that's not the issue. Because if you believe, be baptized. Believing's the issue. So if you don't believe, you're damned already, right? But if you believe, then be baptized, is how simple he's saying it. True? Okay. Flip with me to... Let's look at Acts quick. Thank you, God. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 real quick. Verse 38. Acts 2:38. I just want to breeze through a couple places here where you can see, and I'm not going to be long with this, really. I'm not. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, this is the first message to the people on the day of Pentecost that was preached after Jesus was raised from the dead. The Spirit of God just came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now Peter is standing up sharing. They thought they were drunk. They were criticizing. Peter said, no, these men aren't drunk. And then he starts sharing. This is the end of that. He says, repent. That means change the way you think. Turn your heart, right? Turn from, turn to. Bill Johnson shares it so clear. Change the way you think. I really like the way he explained it one time on a tape I heard about a year and a half ago. To recycle, to redo, to rethink, to rehabilitate, to do something over again, right? Recycle. And pen is the top floor of a high-rise building, to rethink from the highest place. I love that. To rethink from the highest view. Which would be his. Yes. Don't think it's yours. Surely don't think it's mine, right? Yes. The highest view is his. So to rethink from God's view. But repent. Change the way you think, because the kingdom of God is what? It's here. But look what he's saying. Repent and let every one of you be... Isn't it amazing? That's the first altar call. He didn't say, get born again, pray a prayer. Pray a sinner's prayer. Repent and be baptized. So where's the change take place? In your heart. Does it really have to do with praying a certain prayer and repeating after me? Repent. That means change the way you think. Let your heart turn to me and be baptized for the what? Remission of your sins. So what's he telling us in the first sermon preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? That water baptism is the direct symbol, outward observation, outward sign, if you will, of an inward grace that's taken place of the forgiveness of sins. I'm going in, and that old man's dying. My sins are literally being washed away, and the man that comes out is a brand new creature in Christ. You get it? It's very powerful. Now, if you go into water baptism believing that, boom, grace will meet your faith and you'll receive the impartation of that understanding. There are strongholds that break off of people. There is addictive habits, tendencies, weakness, flesh things that are destroyed through water baptism when it's preached clearly. A lot of people think they have to stay the same. They pray a prayer and go to church, but they're still stuck in a rut. We're just flesh, you know, and da-da-da. No, not when grace touches your heart. Not when you're being led by the Spirit. We can be changed. Jesus wouldn't have said, follow me if we couldn't, folks. It says, if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk even as he walked. Isn't that cool? It says, if you say we're in the light or we're in him or we're walking in light and we're actually walking in darkness, we lie and the truth's not even in us. Come on, we don't have to abide in darkness. We're the light, right? It's not a heavy message, not condemning anybody. What I'm saying is there's a grace that's released, and that grace has been subverted at large in the body of Christ because we haven't even talked about water baptism. Or we do it traditionally or symbolically at a young age where people don't even know what they're doing and they can't release faith to receive a grace. Do you see what I mean? So believe and be baptized, you'll be saved. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God would call. Acts chapter 8, go there real quick with me. Thank you, Lord. This fellow in Acts 8, this eunuch, you can look in Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading scriptures in Isaiah, and Philip ran up to him. He got translated there afterward. It was just really cool. He got translated there, period. And then again, man, he was just having a good day. He shows up, and the eunuch's going down the road reading these scriptures, and there's Philip. Boop! And there's this eunuch, and the Lord wanted him to get on the chariot and explain. So here's hunger seeking God who has no understanding. So God sent him Philip. Isn't that cool? He sent him flesh and blood. He sent him a man. Come on. He could have done other things, but he sent him a person. He might want to send you and me, right? So that's why we stay yielded and open. But here's the deal. I want you to see in verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom is the prophet saying this of, himself or another man? So he reads the scriptures. He's led as a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb before. It's Isaiah 53. He opened not his mouth. His humility, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? His life was taken from the earth. Okay? So the eunuch, he's asking Philip, who's this guy writing about? Himself or somebody else? You see that? Yeah. Philip opened up his mouth. This is amazing to me. Watch. He opened up his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached what? Jesus. Preached Jesus to him. Isn't that cool? Watch the very next verse. He preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? That's the next verse. I wonder when he preached Jesus, if water baptism was involved in the message. They preached Jesus to him and they saw water and the guy goes, whoa, water. What was happening? While he's preaching Jesus, his heart's repenting. And he's ready for the water. There's no, and I'm not, it's not that I'm against the sinner's prayer. I just see, we've gotten caught in this thing, you know? Pray this prayer with me. No, repent. The kingdom's here, and get baptized for the remission of your sins. Because when you get in that water and go under, what you're saying is, I no longer live for me, I live for God. And anything I did live for that wasn't God is going today, and I'm coming up brand new. Yeah, there's grace in that. Amen? You follow me? So he preached Jesus. The next sentence, he sees water and goes, whoa, I need to get baptized. What keeps me from being baptized? Look at Philip's answer. Very, very, very insightful here. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you may. What's the purpose of being baptized? Because right now, he just heard the message of Jesus and his heart is repenting. He's convicted, right? And he wants change. Let me ask you a straight question. Can an infant be in that position? So repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Infant baptism's not in there. It doesn't mean you can't do that. It doesn't mean you can't dedicate your child to the Lord. It doesn't mean you can't release a sense, certain level of faith in child dedications. But it's not, when you're sprinkled as a baby, that's not a new birth, born again experience baptism. Because the baby doesn't even know what's happening, let alone believe with all their heart. They don't even have an accountability or an awareness of sin. Do you get it? So what forbid Philip? Only that he believed with what? All his heart. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, whoa, stop the chariot. And they ran to the water. Is that cool or what? See, that's really cool. So once you become of age of accountability and you see your need for a Savior, when you recognize what sin is and understand that you've missed the mark, you've missed God, or you've done things you ought not do, and you have that sense of conviction, and you understand that Jesus hung on a cross and paid that price for all that stuff that we've done, and that was the love of the Father to get us free and get us away from sin. When we see that and go, whoa, I honor you and I worship you as my Lord and my Savior and my Master. You are the Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's the time to get water baptized. Because what you're doing is you're giving your life to the Lord. You're committing yourself to Him and you're going under and you're coming up brand new. Okay? Make sense? Okay. Acts chapter 10.
Yes,
39. You want 39? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Somebody else is in agreement, too. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Yeah, Philip was having a good day. So he got, like, beamed to the eunuch, and then he got beamed somewhere else, and the eunuch's like, where'd the guy go? Cool, I'm saved, yahoo. And he just went rejoicing. See? It's just awesome. But there's a power. We've done New Life for Girls water baptisms. These are girls that they lived in prostitution. They were addicted. They did a lot of stuff for money. They did things that they lost their honor, their value for living, all kinds of stuff. And now they're dare believing the gospel is here to restore them. And I love that. So I love preaching the New Life for Girls and doing New Life for Girls. Remember we used to do the New Life for Girl water baptisms? Oh, and we would hit this so hard on the remission of sin and what they're saying and the statement they're making. And they would literally get in the water and just start to cry. They would just cry and just realize that they are being forgiven and that anything they ever did is being forgotten and that they have new hope and new destiny and new purpose. They would be that filled with faith and go under the water. And when they come up, the chains and bondage and terrors and nightmares and memories of all those things would be shattered by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I can introduce you to a lot of those girls that got totally set free through one release of faith through the act of water baptism. Totally free. One of the leaders came up, one of the first ones we did, he was crying. He said, I just watched girls get set free from years and years of bondage through one water baptism. I said, that's the power of the gospel. Believe and be baptized. It's very significant if there's nowhere in Acts they didn't get baptized on the day they got saved. Okay, Acts chapter 10, and I'm wrapping up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Acts chapter 10. Let me jump in here at verse 44. Peter's speaking to Cornelius' household. Some of you that don't understand, maybe Cornelius was giving alms to God. His alms and givings and prayers came up before the Lord. He sent him an angel. And he told him to send for Peter. He responded, sent some servants to Peter. Peter was on a roof getting a vision of things in a sheet, and God told him to kill and eat. And he said, I never killed anything unclean. He said, don't call what I've made clean unclean. And he was actually referring to the Gentile people. And then Cornelius' servants came, called him down. He came off the roof. He went with them and preached the gospel to Gentiles. It's just nutshelling the gospel, what's going on here. So he's a Jewish man preaching Jesus to Gentile people, like a nation outside of Israel. You follow me? While Peter was speaking in verse 44, the words of Jesus and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and how God raised him on the third day and to be a witness, and he was chosen before by God. And he's just sharing this, and he ordained him to be a judge over the dead and the living. And it's just awesome. While he was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all that heard the word. What just happened? While they were hearing the word, their heart did what? Repented. They didn't like pray a specific prayer. They just went, oh my gosh, yeah, whoa. And they were sitting ducks. They were prime targets. They repented. They didn't have to do anything. They had to believe something. When they believed, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit found a place to land, right? And stay and remain. Boom, he came. Now watch, this is cool. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard him speak with other tongues and magnify God. Peter answered. Look what he said immediately. His first response. Can anyone forbid them water that these should not be baptized who have received the same Holy Spirit as we have? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Do you see in the early church how important the act of water baptism was? It was huge. I don't believe it's a mistake that it got kind of pushed aside in many circles and places and ways. Because there's such a powerful impact of water baptism. A sense of this pastor that 19 years said everything about his life changed. His ministry, his revelation, his prayer life. He said something increased when he got water baptized. He had never been water baptized, and he was in the ministry for 19 years. So there's humility there. When he heard the message, his heart said, I need to do this because I see the power of this, and I've never given myself to the power of this and released faith in this to receive the grace. And he did it. That's a humbling thing. He could say, oh, I've already been pastor 19 years. You know, it doesn't matter. No, he did it, and he said things changed. This other girl was saved for 8 or 10 years, never would have baptized. She was crying and said, she testified later, she said, I can't explain it, but when I came out of the water, I can't explain it. I felt so, and she started crying, I felt so clean. I just felt so clean. And I'm thinking, clean is good. Clean is better than dirty. Come on. I don't know about you, but I want to feel clean, right? So I feel clean through the righteous understanding. Water baptism can release that grace and that awareness. Do you see? It doesn't mean it has to be an emotional time for you. Some people it seems to be like a pull. And other people it's just like, wow, thank you, God. And it's just a confidence in knowing you did what God wanted you to do and you've released your faith. Do you see? Okay. The last scripture I'm going to show you, I was going to read Romans. I just kind of preached it out. But I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3 real quick. And this is where I'm closing. So my encouragement is tonight, if you were only ever water baptized as a little baby and you have no recollection of it, but since then you've come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've seen your need for a Savior and the forgiveness of sin, then water baptism would be powerful for you. It would be awesome to be water baptized. Because what you're acknowledging is the actual forgiveness of that sin, the laying to rest and dead, the old man and coming up brand new. There's something else. Let's just look here. Verse 21. Well, who formerly were disobedient in... where should we go, God? Let's read 18. I don't want it. It's too choppy if I jump in there. Verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. That's pretty good. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. So the whole reason he died is to get us back to the Father. Not to pray a prayer to go to heaven. He died to get us back to the Father. Come on. It's called relationship, and of course we have everlasting life through him. But the whole purpose is to get us back to the Father. By whom also he went to preach to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Isn't that amazing? God came in the days of Noah. The earth was wicked and full of unrighteousness. So check the symbolism out here. Everything in the Old Testament should point to the revelation of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament, if your interpretation of the Old Testament doesn't reveal Jesus, you ought to reevaluate your interpretation. Because the whole focal point of the Bible is Jesus. Do you get it? Here, it's real simple. Watch. In the days of Noah, in Genesis 6, God looked and saw that there was evil continually in the hearts of men, and the earth was full of unrighteousness. He found a righteous man named Noah who had a heart towards God. It didn't mean that he had never missed the mark. He had a heart towards God, okay? He saved him through water, but guess what he did? He flooded the whole earth. He covered the whole earth with water and drowned out all unrighteousness. And all unrighteousness died. Come on. He uses it as an antitype for water baptism right here. Watch. There is also an antitype which now saves us. So people say, do I need to be water baptized to be saved? Believe and be baptized. It's not a relevant question. Believe and be baptized. He just says here, look, there's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. God let that in his word and wasn't offended and didn't think it subverted and overpowered the blood, guys. It all goes together. You see? Watch. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer, here's the key. This is what he means by saving. Whoever heard the term in the Bible, the saving of your soul? Your soul's your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Who knows that this thing can be a trap and not so edifying, or this thing can be a blessing when it's renewed? Okay? It's not evil, it's what we embrace that it. This is to be renewed. So watch. The water baptism saves us in our soul because it's the answer for a good conscience. So when you go under by faith once and for all, never to remember your sin because God's forgotten it. And you come up forever to live for God because now you're a child of the King. So water baptism is the answer of a good conscience. It's like too cool. You get it? Yes. Through the it's the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he went into the grave. Watch this. They didn't leave his foot stick out. They put his whole body in the grave. That's why we put everybody under the water. Okay? Total immersion. You just want to get totally under there. Because I know people that say, did my whole head go under? Oh my God, get my whole head under because I don't want that part of me unsanctified. It's like, oh my God. But you put your whole body under because his whole body went in, right? We bring your whole body out because he rose from the dead. So what you're doing is it's a type and shadow. It's symbolic of the burial and resurrection of Jesus. We died with him. We rise with him. On a personal, intimate note, the Lord gave me a New Life for Girls. The Lord showed me water baptism one time, and he called it in my spirit. And you know how you hear things from God sometimes, and you're thinking, God, if I'm sharing this, you got to really help me out because people will say, where's the word on that one? Because I don't want to preach apart from the word, but he said this to me. He said, Dan, he said, water baptism is the spiritual womb of God. And I'm like, huh? He called it the spiritual womb of God. Watch this. When he delivered the people from Egypt out of the land of sin and bondage, type and shadow of the born again experience, how did they cross out of Egypt to another land through the water. How'd they go from that land into the promised land? How did Noah get saved from the unrighteousness of the earth? Powerful, isn't it? How many mothers here that had to have had children? Mothers. For 9 months, that baby rested in what? What was the first sign that a child was to come forth? Whoa. Who created us? Who created us?
Whoa.
Do you think he created us with purpose? Do you think that there's meaning in what happens?
Yeah.
Come on, do you think that what's being fleshed out in the natural is a spiritual truth that's alive and well?
Yeah.
Water baptism, the spiritual womb of God.
Yeah.
So you go down into the water. Like the little one in you right now, Amanda. Yay! 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 She's pregnant, by the way!
Yeah!
With number... And she actually couldn't get pregnant when she came to a healing service. That was a word of knowledge that night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Word of knowledge that she was struggling getting pregnant, her and her honey were there. Because when the honey's not there, you always make sure you see the ring and make sure they're married. You want to get pregnant? Are you married? Can I see your birth certificate? Are you married?
Yeah.
And birth certificate. No. Her hubby was there. And is it Matthew? Woo! And they were there and got a word, and she wept, because most ladies that want to have children and can't, when you bring it up, they weep because they really want to have kids. Prayed and had a baby. Now she's got number two in the crock pot. See? Where's the baby? Where's the baby? It's in the water. When the water breaks, we know the baby's coming forth. We go into the baptismal, we're in the water, just like the little baby. When the water breaks, out comes the brand new birth, new birth, new creation, baby, girl, boy, that mighty Holy Ghost, I believe this, he's just hovering over that water like the Holy Ghost midwife, and he just spiritually presents that new baby to Papa. Look, we got a brand new baby girl. Brand new baby boy. See, it's all symbolic. It's all got meaning. It's depth. It's powerful. Water baptism is awesome. Did you get that? You're going in the womb of God tonight, girl. Being birthed and brought forth by God. Father's going to push, and out comes Natalie! That's what he did on the cross. He's pushing. Oh, he's down in the pangs of death. Oh, and he rises from the dead for our justification so we can rise in him. Isn't that powerful? Come on. That's really good. John, I took long, I know. Come on, buddy. Any questions on water baptism, why he's making his way up here? Are we clear? Any questions? Any thoughts? Listen, if you were never water baptized and you want to be, man, on the heels of just preaching this truth, now would be a great time to release your faith. We're not compelling, mandating. I'm just saying, if your heart's speaking to you, is there anybody here like that? You say, I was never water baptized, and I really want to be. You were never water baptized?
There's one back there.
As a baby. But did this make sense? Did this bear witness to your heart? So this would mean something to you to do this tonight, you're saying. Wow. How long have you been born again, saved?
About a year and a half.
Isn't that awesome? So you weren't really thinking about baptism because you were as a baby, or weren't you presented with baptism?
This has been a question on my mind for...
Isn't that awesome? About a year and a half she's been saved, and she's going, well, I was baptized as a baby, but this is for me. I want to do... That's awesome. See, it doesn't matter if you were saved 20 years. Is there anybody else you say tonight?
I said two. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I think we have two that have been baptized when they were younger. And you were born again when you were, what, 12, Jen?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I got baptized when I was 12, but at the church, they were just kind of like, you have to do it.
It's a tradition. See, in a lot of churches, when you reach a certain age, they do it. Yeah, we're going to do you, honey.
Yeah.
At a certain age, what they say is, this is what we do because this is our denomination, and you do it. So watch this. Here's the paradox. You could be 12 and just go through the line. without any heart awareness, any belief. You're just going through the protocol of your denomination in obedience, because that's what we do in our church. And there's no significance, meaning, or faith released. So at some point, who knows that we all must be born again? You must be born again. So your denomination, your tradition, going through that protocol doesn't save you. It's when you repent, turn your mind, and rest your life on the finished work of Jesus Christ and recognize your need for a Savior. So every man in his own heart must see that truth and embrace it by belief. Does that make sense? You're not saved through your denomination. You're not saved through an age 12 water baptism. You're saved when you turn your heart to Him and get born again through the sacrifice of Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, so you guys are gonna... You wanted to too, Lisa. Now, what was your situation? Just curious. Because it helps people.
I've just become really born again. The last, I guess, not born again. I was baptized as a baby.
Okay, as a baby, just like she was.
And I prayed that I was not into the Word.
Okay, but since then, in the last 6 months, you get turned on to Jesus, who He is, born again experience, but you've not been water baptized since that experience, and only have been water baptized as a little baby. And you don't remember that. So, see, there's something personal about it now. So that's excellent. So we got a handful of folks. We need some clothes then, John. Okay, and if there's anybody else, won't you? Anybody else did we miss? Were you never water baptized?
I guess as a baby.
So you don't even have a recollection of being water baptized, but yet you've been born again, you believe on Him. He's your King.
He is, isn't He? Amen. He helped you get pregnant too.
Don't think it was all Matt. It was not. It was Jesus.
Matt's walking around like this, you know. It was Jesus.
So you want to too? Anybody else? This is good. There's conviction. There's truth in this. Were you inspired to get water baptized when I was talking? Did you feel like I need to do this tonight? I mean, it's been on your mind, but this sealed the deal, is what I'm saying.
You
right.
Made me know that I am.
This is for
exactly
you.
What I need to do.
And that's why you all raised your hands, right? And Amanda's raising her hand. Anybody else?
Last week when you said it, I prepared. I brought everything that we
said. Oh my gosh, bless your heart. So did this teaching, this mini teaching, give you some understanding and it was helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I already understood.
You understood, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I just thought I need to share something.
Please.
While you were inviting people, I saw a large angel like on the pool deck right there and started waving a huge white flag that was long and thin. And then three more came down from over there, and they're up on that hill.
Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God.
Oh, man. Just for reference,
go ahead.
That's Pam. She sees real clearly and hears real clearly.
Amen.
Anyone that knows Randy Clark, she's one of the top two in prolific and profound words of knowledge, and she sees them visually.
Okay, so she is a seer. She's had that gift virtually her whole life, and God has really fine-tuned it recently. So, you know, I haven't been necessarily given that gift, but I know
we're really happy that you're here, guys.
That's like God's excited. There's a celebration. There's a yay. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Righteousness. Amen?
That's just awesome.
Go ahead, Jim.
Guys, I'm going to keep this brief because I know we have some things to take care of. We have food indoors, and after the baptisms, you're all welcome to stick around and just have a real blessed time. We are going to have Holy Communion here in just a few minutes. I just want to share something with you. Dan got talking about when people come up out of the water of baptism, that on numerous occasions they've been healed. That's just a fact. Well, we've also seen people after they've taken Holy Communion with understanding be healed. It's the body broken and the blood shed. And it was one year ago to this month where Dan was at a conference with Leif Hetland and Randy Clark. And at this conference, one of the last things Randy liked to teach on, and Randy was raised Baptist, and Baptists generally just call it an ordinance, the Holy Communion. There's higher views of it as a sacrament. We're not here to push any particular denominational understanding, but the fact is that Jesus said this is, you know, through when he taught Paul, this is my body, okay?
And he said that in, when he on the last you know on the, you know at the Last Supper, he also taught Paul after the fact, and Paul shares it, you know, in Corinthians. And the thing is that Randy taught it that night with a very high understanding of how powerful it really is. The body broken, the blood shed. It's a twofold covenant. The body was broken. That those stripes in Isaiah 53 verse 5. It's by his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You hit on that tonight. It is so awesome. The blood was shed. He died for forgiveness of sins, but he also was marred more than any man. Isaiah 52. Just read the end of Isaiah 52 and read Isaiah 53, the whole chapter. It's just a blow away. I'm not going to go through it all tonight. We don't need to. You understand it. You've heard it before, and it's my heart just to get people to understand how powerful. But right after that teaching, a lady born deaf, a deaf mute, heard and spoke. Now that is a creative miracle. That is incredible. And that was right on the heels of his teaching on Holy Communion and sharing it.
Wow.
Okay, that's powerful. And that actual video is online at globalawakening.com. You go to the Bethlehem Conference and you can actually hear her speaking and repeating words. I mean, all she knew was sign language. And she's crying out Jesus and more and saying her name. And it just was incredible. So it's really powerful what we have here. It's just so powerful. So what we have, Kathy, I don't know, okay, Kathy's, Jen, okay, could you help out and bring some trays? Anybody, George, I just want everybody to stay put. I don't want everybody running around because we have a multi-tiered deck here, and I want people to be very careful on the different tiers. But what we're going to do is we're going to basically give out unleavened bread. We have some of that, and we have some grape juice, and we're just going to make sure everyone that wants one has it. And we don't want to offend
anybody.
No one's
compelled.
No one's being compelled.
To take
you're invited,
no
but
pressure,
we're not.
No
yes,
judgment.
We're not compelling anyone.
Something in your heart that's telling you, or something that says I don't want to participate tonight, or
it's okay then. You know, it's
be free
there's
tonight.
No you're judgment,
under compulsion.
Right. There's
your
no
love.
Condemnation in Christ.
Nope. You're love. So if you pass, that's between you and Jesus. It's not a judgment. Thank you, Father. It's beautiful. The blood forgives us of sin, and the body was given to remove the effects of sin upon our flesh. That's the twofold covenant. He forgives all our sin, heals
all our
disease.
Absolutely.
So why does body need pummeled so bad on the cross? Because sin had affected and taken such a toll on humanity, he took it all upon himself. That's why we can be healed, folks, not just forgiven. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah. John 3:16, everyone knows that. Everyone could recite that probably since they were a young child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. But John 3:17 follows it and is the second half of it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That word saved is sozoed in the Greek, and it means saved, healed, delivered, redeemed, restored, bought back, brought back to original value, made whole, kept safe and sound, and do well. Now, there is a good word. Okay? And that's what he paid for. He didn't just pay for us to go to heaven someday. He paid for us to be healed and delivered, redeemed, and restored back to original created value as if we never sinned.
Amen.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That was the reason the Son of Man, Jesus, was made manifest. That's 1 John chapter 3, 8b. Okay? So we want to follow what he did and get all that he paid for. Please, his Heavenly Father, when we get what his Son, Jesus Christ, paid for. The full package. Don't just sell out for just going to heaven someday. That's awesome and all. That's more than we could ever ask for. But he paid for the whole package. So let's receive it.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I think there's still a handful more that don't have it. How many people that want the communion don't have it yet in their hands? Okay, we just got a few more there at the back there. Great.
Thank
We're just going to basically all take it together. And, wow. There have been seasons in my life where I just felt that waking up each morning really early way before I usually get up, and just go down and read the word, and just break bread with him. And it's just an awesome thing. And yeah, I don't do that every day now by any means, but I've always had a respect and a reverence for this. See, I was raised Lutheran. Not that that's good, bad, or indifferent. I know some others that were. I see a sister there. But, you know, in the Lutheran church, there's all these different debates. They get into, like, you know, the Catholic understanding of it and the Lutheran, and there's all these different things. Well, one interesting thing that I was taught when I was a teenager, because I really got an understanding of this, Luther said is and always is. He said it in German, though. Okay? So he had a particular understanding of it being the body and blood. We're not going to get into consubstantiation, transubstantiation, all these theoretical things and religious things. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. Let's just get on with it, and let's not worry about it. Let's just do it and know what it accomplished. Because the whole point is, what did he accomplish? We're celebrating that here. And we just thank him. One thing, I celebrated Passover with a Messianic rabbi a few years ago. And it was an awesome experience. And what he taught, remember Passover, the lamb slain. They would take the sinless, the spotless lamb, representing sinless, you know, Son of Man there, Jesus. They would slay him at the doorway. Okay, that was the original Passover. They slit his throat, they killed him at the doorway. So the blood is the foundation, it's the base of the doorway. They would then take hyssop, this branch, and they would paint the blood all the way around the door and on the lintel on all sides. Now think about it. Jesus was pierced in the feet, in both hands, and his head was pierced. Of course, the side was. But this was for the crown of thorns. All areas of the doorway, Jesus is the doorway, were covered in blood. And it is through that blood that we're able to go through that doorway into eternal life. It was a powerful thing. I had never seen it that way before. It's just powerful. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you.
Father.
We thank you for thinking of everything in what Jesus accomplished. Jesus, you fulfilled all the law and all the prophecies. You accomplished it all that day. Before you went to Calvary, you bore those stripes, those 39 lashes. It's by those stripes that we are healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. And we just thank you for sacrificing your love. It was your love you just accomplished everything that day through your love. And so you gave your life for us. Your blood was shed for our eternal salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins.
God.
We just thank you, Lord. So we just thank you that on the night in which you were betrayed, Lord Jesus, you took bread, and after giving thanks, you broke it. You said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this often in remembrance of me. Take the body. Take the bread now.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. After supper, you took the cup. After giving thanks, you poured it. You said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for your life shed on that cross for us. No greater love than this. The man laid down his life for his friends. He calls us friends.
Thank you.
You're awesome, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just ever so grateful. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for just taking care of all of it.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
Okay.
Wow.
Is everyone that wants to be baptized, if we can, we have extra, you know, we have extra t-shirts and swim trunks and everything else. If anyone's brought their own stuff along, there's a bathroom in here. You can go upstairs. They'll try to direct you. And we're just going to go from there.
We're going to baptize. I don't know, you know, your schedules, if people that aren't getting baptized, if you need to go, You might be parked in, and that might be your sign that you have to stay.
I don't know what to tell you, but there's fellowship, there's goodies, there's snacks.
Food inside, please, you know, feel free.
But I'm going to go get changed, and we're going to baptize at the pool. Two quick thoughts. There's three quick thoughts. One, if I could have your attention real quick, because I'm going to go in and get changed. But if you came here tonight for prayer, or you have need for healing in your body, and you still feel that you have need, I want you to wave your hand where you're at right now. I want to see who you are.
That young man prayed for. His name is Tyler.
Okay.
He came very specially for tonight.
Okay. Because I want some folks prayed for here. You need prayer? Come on. If you need prayer, I need you to come up here. Church, I want you to pay attention here, guys, before we move forward.
Yeah.
I want believers to come and raise your hands if you need prayer.
Hey,
you have a word? Okay, well, I want some people then, in a minute, you keep your hands up, or you lift your hand. Martha's got to share a word. You share this word in a sec.
We're gathering together because of what just took place here. We had a powerful, powerful word on baptism.
Okay.
And then another powerful word on communion. Whatever... You know, I hear a lot of, oh my gosh, I wish, you know, the grace that God wants to release because of what baptism, old things are passed away. I believe that right now, and then the grace on communion, I believe the healing is here right now.
Yes, it is.
I believe that when we took part of that body, that healing is released. I don't believe we need to pray so much. I believe that we partake. You know, the body was broken for us. I mean, we can enter into that, but it is so here right now. The healing has been released. And there's some powerful things happening in the area of remission of sins. There's areas where we feel like we've cut short. We haven't been able to move or break through on that. But I believe there's a releasing, a remission that's actually taking place of things that have kept us. Okay, so
no, that's good. That's why I said if you still feel like you need prayer after what we did, because here's the deal. What Martha's talking about, there's a revelation to be received here and to be grasped and to be lived and expressed. However, at the same point, I felt like that's why I said about the sickness. I said, if you still feel like you need prayer, meaning in light of what we've just done, there's an affirmation and agreement of the body of Christ of what we just preached and proclaimed in Jesus' name. So I would like those people to be prayed for in that light.
Amen.
And not that we're praying in a certain sense of what we can produce in prayer, but in the revelation, what I'm hearing Martha crying out from her heart is the revelation that we just received tonight, we're releasing upon these people that raised their hands in Jesus' name, be healed. You get it? So that's what we're doing. So who are you right now that you know you need some prayer?